on looking around. This is a woman's story. Poor guys. I feel sorry for you because mostly in scripture it's always men's stories, right? And we have to kind of listen to them and translate them into woman talk. But today it's a woman's story. I may or may not give you a man's story to go with it, but yes, I realize that. Now, in the Bible, not many women were named. They were just women. And I guess unless they had great significance, we don't know their names. We know Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of our Lord. And today we hear about Mary and Martha. Two women who are sisters. They have a brother, Lazarus. I kind of think, too, that maybe they worried a lot about Lazarus. I don't think he was very healthy because later on, just before the crucifixion, we hear that Jesus goes to raise Lazarus from the dead, so he dies. So he might have been their brother, not so healthy. And again, in those days, women needed a man to protect them. So Lazarus had a pretty important role. There's no father in the scenario, so it seems like the three are on their own. This family is really quite important because it's a place where Jesus can go and rest and feel safe and feel like he's part of a family. We see that in the gospel stories of his going to stay with this family. Now, Susan's going to laugh because, you know, I am the chaplain for the ACW. I am an absolute ACW failure when it comes to what ACW was in my mother's time. I do not bake. I hate to bake. And when I do bake, it usually is a failure. Now, my mother had to bake over a wood stove, so maybe that's why I inherited that fear, you know. In my day, the anxiety was, we got to take this to ACW, and I burned it, right? So then I got to make another one and whatever. You kind of get the idea about Martha, okay? That's the kind of worry and anxiety that I used to have. I never in my longest dreams ever thought that I would be chaplain for the ACW because they didn't like my cakes. And so therefore, you know, why would they want me? That was what I thought it was all about. And so I've always chosen when I hear this story to say, well, I'm the Mary. But you know what? We're both, all of us, including you guys, the Marys and the Marthas. I think I have to help the guys out. So I kind of thought this up. Now, this is not gospel. This is just Betty's fantasy. Did you know that there was a fisherman named George and that he was a friend of Peter? You didn't know that, did you? No. Okay. Well, this is at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And George and Peter and James and John are all sitting in their fishing boats, and they can see the crowds coming down the hill, and they can hear that everybody is listening to Jesus and is kind of excited to hear him talk. And he comes right down to the shore to preach. George sees him coming, and George and Peter and John and James have said, well, we're going to stay and see what this guy has to say. You know, maybe he's got something important to say. George says, there's fish out there, and I'm going to go and I'm going to catch them because, you know what? If we listen to this guy, it's going to be 11 o'clock in the afternoon, and the fish only bite early in the morning, and so I'm out of here. And so that's what George decided to do. Now, we know what happened to Peter and James and John. Jesus said, follow me. And they had spent time with him. They were impressed. They sensed that this was no usual man. And so they got up and followed him. What's George doing? George is over there in the middle of the lake putting his fishing net down and hauling in his catch. He's doing what he always does. So maybe that's the man's story that goes with this woman's story. And there is another part, too, in the end of John's gospel where Jesus is on the shore and he's cooking the fish, and they come back in with their fish in their nets. What does Peter do? Good old impulsive Peter jumps out of the boat. Says he was naked. I don't know what we women did in those days, like this or whatever. But anyway, he puts his clothes on, he gets out of the boat, and he goes to the shore to Jesus. Guess what all the other guys have to do? They have to be like Martha, right? They have to bring in the nets with the fish. They have to clean the nets and whatever. And Peter is going. So I think my point is we all have a little bit of both in us. We have the doing person and we have the being person. And I think Martha is not the bad gal here. Martha's trying to do hospitality. That is a big, big thing in Jewish culture. Also, she's doing it for Jesus. She's doing the stuff that he needs. He needs to be fed. He needs to be welcomed to the house. This is where he feels safe. He needs this. And so she does what she's meant to do. But she does two things I think we can learn from as women and as men. Because first of all, she says to Jesus, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Now, you know, a little psychology would say that this is kind of the passing of the buck. This is not healthy stuff, guys. This is not healthy stuff. If you have something to say to your sister, you need to say it to your sister. Why do you need Jesus to say it? I guess it gives it more authority. But think, sometimes we do that, right? You know, if you're in a parish and you want to get something out there, you know, maybe I love Claire, so I'm not talking about Claire, but maybe it's about your priest, right? And so, oh, this used to happen to me when I was pastoral associate at St. Michael's. And Brian Beveridge was our priest. And somebody would come to me and say, oh, I wish Brian, blah, 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 you know. And I'd say, I think you should make an appointment and talk to Brian. Or the other thing you can do is, you know who the gossip is in the congregation, right? Make sure you tell them everything that's bothering you. And then you know that it'll get out and maybe somebody who could do something about it will hear. But, you know, we do that. It's not healthy, does not build community, and it's not the way we're called to be Christian people. So that's lesson number one from Martha. Lesson number two, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is only need for one thing. And of course, that's what Mary's doing, sitting at Jesus' feet listening. The message is, in our busy lives, we have to somehow take some time out to center ourselves, to pray, to listen to what God is saying to us. If we're busy all the time, we don't listen. And you know, I mean, we have all this technology today, and I'm not saying this because I'm an old person, because I have an iPad and an iPhone, and I do this too. But, you know, I mean, you see people sitting in a restaurant at a table, and instead of talking to each other, they're texting somebody else, each of them. And so, you know, relationship is important. Mary was building relationship. She was sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, the other thing I want to tell you, women weren't supposed to do that. It was only men who could be disciples. It was only men who should have been listening. Jesus kind of shook that up with Mary of Bethany, and he kind of shook it up with Mary Magdalene, and so he changed that a bit. But Mary was being the strong-headed woman. And believe me, as you're listening to me, you might get the idea I'm the strong-headed woman, right? I've paid for it lots of times, and sometimes that happens. But sometimes we have to do what we feel called to do. And that's what Mary did. She was doing what she felt called to do. She put aside all the things that would hold her back from doing it and sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him. So, people, we do need those people who do and cook and do all that thing. We all need to do that. If we're men, we need to get out in the boat and whatever our boat is and go and do our job, right? We need to do what we need to do. But we also need to find time in our day to have quiet time, to be able to spend time with God, to be able to hear God's voice. How are we going to do that? Well, there's probably a book around here somewhere that helps us do that, right? We read our scriptures. We spend time thinking about our lives and where they're going and what God's calling us to do. And that's how we become the Mary side of our life. We need both sides. We need to be the doers, and we need to be the beers, the person who can be, the person who can listen. I want to challenge you a little bit. In this busy, busy life, what distracts you? And how do you find that time? I've had a real fun few days. I had two weddings, the only two I've had this year, all in one day, 2 hours apart in two different locations. And, you know, I came back from Waterton for the rehearsal. I get up I go to the rehearsal on Friday night. And excuse the French, it's the wedding from hell, the first one. The photographer is in my face. They're late starting, and then they have to get out of there because they have the rehearsal supper. Rehearsals at 7, suppers at 8. Half the people aren't there. Photographer's in my face saying, what can I do? What can I not do? I'll talk to you later. But he's kind of an arrogant little guy, you know, and he's just right there, and I'm going, ah! And, you know, then if you do a wedding in Banff, because I do the occasional one at St. George's, which is where this wedding is, you got to worry about the traffic getting up there, so give yourself lots of time. Usually you can't find a place to park, nor can anybody coming to the wedding. But you know, I thought, well, how do you get through this? One event at a time, right? Take that time. And then I kept thinking, what am I going to say to the people at St. George's? Because it's always kind of last, you know, I do the research, I do the notes, it's last minute, and then I have to decide what I'm going to do. And I'm driving to Banff thinking about the sermon, right? I haven't written a lot down yet, but I'm driving to Banff thinking about the sermon. But I think it's just finding a personal example. This is what we're going to do at St. Peter's when we do the Yeah, the deal. They're the Silver Cross lunch. That's what I'm thinking of. I'm going to talk about this, finding your story in the story. That's finding my story in the story. I'm being a Martha. I'm being really distracted by all the things that possibly can go wrong with this wedding. And, you know, then getting back to Exshaw for the next wedding, which is an hour's drive, and worrying about these things. So I want to ask you, what are the distractions in your life? Some things are important, other things are not. By the second wedding, I was just relaxed. That couple had been this is how weddings go these days. This couple had been together for 25 years, so they decided to get married to celebrate their 25th wedding, or together anniversary. The first wedding, they had three kids, and they're all like about this high, and they all went up to be with mom and dad. That's okay, too. I've had Noah's Ark in the middle of a family wedding like that once because kids were playing with it, right? You know, what distracts us and how important is that? What keeps us from listening to God's voice? And, you know, I want to challenge you, too, with one last thing. You know, lots of times we say, well, what would bring the millennials to church? Well, the poor millennials are doing three jobs. You know, what would bring them to church? Maybe some help, I don't know. But it's very difficult as the generations go on and as some of us face, you know, I'm retired, but some of you face really, really challenging lifestyles where you have to be mom and you have to have a job and you have to do all those things. What distracts you? What can you do about it? As I'm getting old, I say, okay, I can think about that tomorrow. Or I can think about the second wedding after the first wedding is over. And I can give myself time to have time with God. May you do the same. In Jesus' name, amen.